D-Mace Vingen and Donick 102.5, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. A reminder that at the end of this segment, I will give you the cue to call to win a pair of tickets to the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix at the Nashville Super Speedway on August 30th and 31st. So be listening at the end of this segment. We are pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Trevor Maddich, who is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, the Titans' initial 53-man roster has been released. How would you compare the overall talent level of the Titans' initial 53-man roster this season to last season's roster?
Adam, it is an extraordinary improvement. There are still holes that they need to fill, especially with depth. But from a standpoint of compared to last season, this roster I absolutely love in comparison, right? I mean, the offensive line is completely different. The receivers have been upgraded tremendously. I believe the inside linebackers have been upgraded a lot. If Legarius Sneed can just stay healthy at corner, then all of a sudden with Jarvis Brownlee having a year under his belt, Roger McCreary playing well, at least the starting corners are looking good. Safety might be the deepest position on the team with some new guys there. And, you know, I think overall, this 53-man is dramatically more talented and more capable of competing than last year's. Now, how will they do? Where do they stack up against the better teams in the league? They're still not there yet. But compared to last year, and remember this, that we've talked a lot over the last few years about how, just as an example, if the offensive line could improve from heinous to merely awful, it would make a huge difference with the team. Well, that's where we are. I mean, we're with a team that has been dramatically subpar overall in terms of his talent level that has made a huge step forward.
Now, Trevor, how do you think this this trio of Peter, Cushenberry, and Zeitlin, how do you think that that's going to work out for the Titans? Because I think it's going to be essential to keep the middle of that pocket, because that's where defenses are going now. They want to push the pocket so the quarterback can't step up in the pocket and deliver the ball. But how do you think those three guys are going to work?
You know, I think they'll work together really well. I think there's a good mix there of youth and experience, and I think there's a tremendous amount of hunger as well. Peter Skoronski at left guard came into the league with he had to have his appendix out before his first year, I believe it was. And then the first couple of years he was in the league, he had such a huge deficit at left tackle, and then next to him at center on the right as him as left guard. So he's got the combination of youth, inexperience, and lack of talent on both sides. And it's really hard to develop as an offensive lineman when you're always trying to block your guy and help somebody else on either side who is beating the guy on either side. And so I think just having a veteran left tackle and a veteran center who are both proven NFL players will help Skoronski. And I see him taking a big leap forward. Lloyd Cushenberry at center is one of the best young centers in the league, but he's got to return from that Achilles injury. And the thing about that is that I hope that they don't push him to come back against, you know, Denver. Certainly, I don't think he'll play against Denver the way we are now, but to come back too soon. Because, you know, they play a lot of really tough defenses in the first month of the regular season. And they should not try to rush Cushenberry back because of that and then lose him for the rest of the season, or at least for a few more months. So I think they should slow play Cushenberry. Corey Levin is one of the best backup offensive linemen in the NFL. And I think that they have the luxury of allowing Cushenberry to heal before they put him in. Kevin Zeitler at right guard came in from Minnesota, the Vikings, and he is the kind of a guy that's had just a solid career, just rock solid. And so with him and with Cushenberry, the big keys are just to keep them healthy, to manage their practice time and make sure that their bodies are in good shape. Because while Cushenberry is a young guy, Zeitler is not. Zeitler is, you know, a relatively older guy, but his performance last year didn't slip. I mean, he's still performing at a very high level. So I like the three of those guys inside when Cushenberry gets healthy and as long as they all stay healthy as a group.
Now, how bad do they need a swing tackle? Because every team, you know, has to have that tackle or that offensive lineman that can go from left to right, whether it be the left tackle, right tackle, or he can play center or guard. But how important is it going to be for them to get a swing tackle, especially you're dealing with a guy that, you know, a second-year guy in Latham. He's moving back to his natural position, but I'm sure it's going to still take him a time to get up to speed. And then you have the other guy they brought in from Pittsburgh, Moore. I mean, do I think he was overpaid? Possibly, yes. But he's not a what we would call a high-end tackle.
No, but remember the standard. I mean, mm-hmm. if they went from heinous to awful at left tackle, it would be a big improvement. Well, in this case, they went from okay with J.C. Latham as a rookie last year, moving from right to left tackle as a starter, to bringing in Dan Moore. They went from okay to quite good. Mm-hmm. And you're right, Dan Moore hasn't shown that he's an elite tackle, but he's shown that he's quite good, which for the Titans is an enormous improvement. But having backup tackles is huge, because we've seen over the last several years what happens when you don't have tackles, whether they can't play or whether they get hurt and the backup can't play. It's been all combinations of that on both sides for the Titans in recent years. And so, you know, having, whether it's one guy that'll swing or whether it's a couple of guys that'll focus in on the left and on the right, it doesn't really matter. I mean, Udo can play both sides. And I think they really like Blake Hance as a guy that could give them depth at all five offensive line positions. There's a lot of value in that kind of versatility. But they've got three guys right now out of 11 on this offensive line group that they've carried into today that are listed as tackles, just tackles. That doesn't include Hance, that are backups. So I really think they're going to be switching some guys around. I don't think they're going to carry 11 offensive linemen. I really think that they need to bolster that defensive line. They may add another defensive lineman. There's a couple of places where they might lose one of the 11 offensive linemen in favor of somebody else at a different position to add people that can do more than just back up on the offensive line. Because remember this, that, you know, you've got 11 offensive linemen. Guess how many of them cover kicks?
None.
None of those guys are core special teams guys. So I don't think you're going to see 11. You'll probably see 9, possibly 10, but I think you'll end up seeing about 9 by the things all said and done.
We're talking to Trevor Maddich, talking some football with him on cut down day. And Trevor, I think we are all, even though you're optimistic that they've improved from last year to this year on the roster, we know that with the number one waiver pickup, we all have this hope that they can even get better on the margins. It's one of the things of Pete Rozelle's parity, right? You get that first pick for a while. How much can they take advantage of that? Or are we sitting there hoping, is our bar a little too high of what you might get there? What's the standard? How much can they help themselves there?
Yeah, that's a great point, Willie. And I think that because this team has been so bad for so long, that certainly in recent memory, they have a really good chance to improve their depth, improve their special teams, and maybe even pick up a guy that they can develop into more of an everyday player. But certainly, when you have first choice of players that other sides waive, you can absolutely do that. We talked about defensive line, right? You got Jeffrey Simmons, Tavondre Sweat, and Sebastian Joseph Day is a quite good starting offensive line. James Lynch is a quality backup. So that's 4. Then you got Timmy Horn, who is up and down. And I don't know that he'll be on the roster after the Titans go through all the waivers and start to pick up some defensive linemen. I think I'd like them to add 2 more, and maybe one of them in place of Horn, so that they can have a quality rotation on the defensive line so the starters don't get worn out. And, you know, you've got the 3 starters with only 2 backups behind them. I think that some teams are going to be waiving defensive linemen that have a good chance to be able to come in like a second hockey line. And even though their talent level isn't the highest, they can play, they're athletic, and they will give 100% effort until they have to come back out of the game and the starters can go back in after having gotten the rest. And so, you know, I think that those kinds of areas are where the Titans can benefit from having the first pick in the waiver process. So remember this, that players that have less than four vested years in the league, vested is when you've got at least three games in a year where you're either on the active roster or on one of the injury lists. And so basically a 1 through 4 year veteran, essentially for most of them, that's when the Titans will have the first pick. After that, then those players aren't waived. They're just released and they're immediate free agents and it's not the waiver process. So the Titans will have their first pick of those players that don't have more than four vested years. And that's a whole lot of guys. And right now, you know, the depth of this team could improve in some position groups dramatically. Other position groups, not so much. Safety, I don't see him adding any safeties, you know, but I could see him adding some linebackers, that's for sure. And I definitely could see him adding some defensive linemen inside.
Trevor, one thing we debated yesterday was, you just provided some insight. I wish we had you share that with us before we made our picks, but it's a related topic. We're going to hit after you're finished with our conversation today. We're going to throw at our listeners. Can the Titans keep Cam Ward upright and get him through? It would be a victory in my mind if he just made it through the regular season and played 16 or 17 games, because that would mean he's playing well enough to keep the job and they're not beating him up like some of the guys we've seen kind of crash and burn. They just can't get through. With these improvements in the roster and the improvements of the offensive line, do you feel okay about their chances of Ward getting the full season in?
Yeah, I really do. And really, this team's success and Ward's success early on will come down to the offensive line and the running backs. This team has to rely on the run. It has to be like the Hogs of Washington's Super Bowl years. Now, they're not that good. They don't have a running back like John Riggins. But I think that Pollard is a really good player. And they keep him healthy. He was really great for this team, one of the few bright spots last year for the Titans. And with the improvement on the offensive line, if those guys can stay healthy, this is a team that has to go old school. It's a team that has to rely on the run, keep the other offense off the field, keep their defense fresh, especially that defensive line of the Titans, and then allow third and manageable on a regular basis and allow play action pass to really matter, because defenders are thinking about the run first. And so Cam Ward, for all the good stuff that he may or may not do, is going to be largely dependent on how well that offensive line can block with the run and how the running backs are able to fall forward and gain an extra yard or so at the end of a run so that they're third and two, third and three all the time instead of third and seven or third and six all the time. And that's when we'll see Cam Ward really start to flourish. The pass protection, especially off the edges this year, should be such a dramatic improvement over years past that I think Titans fans are going to need to call their doctors with the vapors, because they're going to be astonished at how much protection Cam Ward has compared to what they're used to seeing with Will Levis and the way this pass protection has fallen apart. But again, you know, Cam Ward this year might be Jaden Daniels of the Commanders. He might have that kind of a rookie season. I hope he does. But ultimately, the best thing for him is for the running game to go. That will help his protection. That will help everything else. And so as you judge Cam Ward's performance this year, the first thing you want to judge is not the protection. The first thing you want to judge is the running game and what's his average third down to go.
Trevor Maddich, brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, guys.
Trevor Maddich joining us here on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. 615-737-1025. All right, I told you I have a giveaway, and here it is. Be caller number two at 615-737-1025, and you will win a pair of tickets to see the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix at the Nashville Super Speedway on August 30th and 31st. That's this weekend. Caller number two wins a pair of tickets to the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.